If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. Here we are once more, back after another game week. 11 game weeks done. And Premier League teams starting to find whereabouts they sit in the Premier League table. Who's going to be at the top, who's going to be at the bottom. And I feel like we're starting to find our feet in fantasy football as well, which is quite nice. Anyway, yeah, my name's Rich Wolfenden, football commentator. And I never know what to say for the second part. And fantasy football player, I guess we'll go with that.
Aficionado. Fantasy football aficionado, I'd say, Rich.
Fantasy football aficionado, Rich Wolfenden. And I'm joined by Luke Jurdy, my co-commentator.
Well, I wish I was a co-commentator. I'd love to.
Did I say co-commentator?
You did, yeah. I wish I was, though, mate. I think we'd be great as a co-commentary team.
You could do it. Have a word with the TalkSport lads.
Exactly. Please do. Yes. Welcome, everyone. I'm Luke Jurdy. We are at FPL Triple Cap on socials. Give us a follow on there. We're recording on Monday night after the game week's just finished, heading into an international break. And we are joined, as always, during our international breaks by a special guest. We have got professional rugby player. He plays for Leicester Tigers. It's Matt Scott. He's an FPL addict like me and Rich, I think. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, all good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Probably fair to say I'm a bit of an addict. Slowly coming to that realization now. Mainly just, I listen to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of stuff on Twitter, and it's probably safe to say that I'm addicted.
Mate. Yeah, because I think I saw you on it was on a Spaces chat, wasn't it, on Twitter? I think, and I was like, oh, that's. He's got a blue tick. I'll look at his profile and it's like, oh, wow, professional rugby player. That's amazing. So I sent you a message, didn't I? And you agreed to come on the pod. So, yeah, I mean, welcome to the mad game that is FPL.
Yeah, and it's equally as mad podcast because we have no direction, especially when we don't have producer Ben.
We don't have Ben, usually, yeah.
But he's off doing whatever, crying about Aston Villa, presumably. Basically, we just thought we'd get you on and we'd just talk about just FPL. So game week 11's just been. How did it go for you?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah, I think I got 69 points, which took me to, I checked before I came on just so I wasn't completely clueless, so took me to 101k, I think, overall.
Very nice.
So I've actually had a good start to the season. Like, although sometimes I feel like this season it seems like everyone's doing really well, and as you know, like, there's always players that you miss out on game weeks and you think, oh, I should be doing so much better. But to be fair, to be, you know, around 100k at this stage of the season is probably the best I've been, so I'm pretty happy with it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's 69. That's great. You get 69, Luke?
I got 70, actually. I thought I'd got 69. And then I realised that TAA had got an extra point. So it was 70 for me.
Very nice.
Yeah, I was absolutely buzzing with that. And game week rank was like, I think we must have all done really well game week rank wise. I think it was like 130k game week rank for me, and up to 77k overall now. So
that's
really
great.
Happy with that. Yeah, just like, banging that top 100k, want to stay there for the rest of the season, and just got to play it as sensible as possible now. No stupid chip moves or anything like that like last season. I want to consolidate that position and get to that top 50k and hopefully push for top 10k. And you've joined me there, Rich, as well, haven't you?
I know. I honestly can't believe it. Like, the slow, steady climb up that FPL table just keeps on happening at the moment. So I'm 87k. So I think I'm a 3 points behind you or something like that. There's not much in it. 67 points is what I got overall, and just absolutely thrilled just continuing to climb the ladder. I think I know really why Ben's not available this evening. It's because he's had this steady continuation down. He's doing the editing of this podcast, so he's probably going to take this little bit out. But he's had a bit of a tough few days, few weeks of it, really. But the Cobra as well, the mysterious FPL Cobra, who's also part of our podcast family, he's ahead of everyone. He's up to like 45K, was it, or something like that? Like, he's flown up the table. And he's the guy who sits there listening to our podcast. He's our voice on Twitter and that sort of thing. He tweets on behalf of us, Matt. So he's the guy who's engaging with the community and that sort of thing. And yeah, he listens to our advice. We don't listen to our own advice. And he goes even higher above us. But yeah, so who delivered for you in game week 11?
I think the main sort of differentials that I had were Adam Armstrong.
Great shout.
Yeah, I've had him for a few weeks and I genuinely would have moved him out this week for Tony. I think I was like 0.1 short, so I couldn't do it. I decided not to make any transfers this week, roll the transfers with a view to obviously having two over the break and then looking at some Spurs guys coming up. But he was, 9 point, it was nice on the Friday night. It's always good to have a Friday night.
Oh,
I was going to bench him for Ben White. And then last minute, I thought, do you know what, he might start because I knew Brojo was fit. So that was nice. Cancelo, Trent, unreal. They're just beasts.
Captain Salah by any chance?
Captain Salah, Rafinha. I've got, they were the main guys that returned, I think, for me. I had Chilwell and Rudiger, they didn't really do anything. Sanchez getting sent off, not ideal. So, it could have been a really good game week for now, Sanchez. And then I had Jamie Vardy and Antonio as well. So they've been quite disappointing. But no, I'm happy with it, with the way my team's looking. And to have two free transfers coming into the international break is always a good position to be in.
Man, definitely. I mean, just talking about strikers, like, you know, you had like the one striker who actually returned like this game week. Like, hardly any strikers like did anything. Ronaldo again, dud. Antonio again, dud. Jimenez, dud. Like, my strikers just continue to let me down. So fair play for sticking with Armstrong. And again, if you'd have gone to Tony, Norwich, at long, long last, you know, they finally got something. But I don't think anyone expected them to get 3 points against Brentford. It was bonkers.
That's what I've kind of learned over the last few seasons of playing, is not to have too much FOMO about looking at other people's teams, because I was really worried about that Brentford-Norwich game with not having... I don't have any Brentford guys, so I was thinking of ways to bring in Mbeumo or Tony, and like right up to the deadline, I was just stressing about it, and I was like, I'm just going to stick to my guns, stick with the guys I've got, and sometimes that's the best way to do it. I think in the past I would have 100% just targeted fixtures and gone for those guys, just so, you know, I have a kind of, didn't have that FOMO. But it worked out well for me. And then none of the Spurs guys returned either, which I was thinking about making a move for early. I had Havertz as well, actually. So to be fair, the thing that bugged me, like, this is classic FBL, like 3 weeks ago you think of like what could have been. So I had Ronaldo in my team and Jota, and I was going to either move them out for Kane. I could afford Kane and Mount or Vardy and Havertz, and that first week was the one where Mount got his hat trick. So I was thinking, oh, this is a bad move, but obviously the last 2 weeks Mount's not played and Havertz has got an assist and a goal, and feeling a little bit better about it. But you definitely learn, I think, to be a bit more patient and a bit more long-term about your views and not react to the, you know, because as soon as, when Mount's got a hat-trick, I was like, I had him in my team, I should have, but yeah, it's the joys of FPL.
Oh, mate, tell us about it.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? And I've said this before, like, sometimes if you're priced out of a move, it actually works out for the better, because you stick with the player and then they return. So often I've sold a player and then they've returned, and there is definitely a lot to be said for patience. It was like Benrahma against United quite a few weeks back was a good example of that. A lot of people were getting off him, and I thought, just stick with him for one more week. I mean, it was a very lucky deflected goal, but it sometimes pays to be patient. And I mean, for me this week, it was like I actually would have preferred to have only had one free transfer so I could have rolled it. But because I had two, I felt like I had to make a move. And really, I didn't want to make a move. I kind of wanted Tony, but I didn't want to get rid of Wilson because he was my differential. I didn't want to get rid of Antonio. And Broja's just there for to be a third striker, really, who sometimes plays. So I was like, well, I don't really want to make the move. But I ended up taking Wilson out for Tony. and obviously Tony 1-pointer, Wilson got 2 points. I mean, when Wilson rounded Sanchez and he had that, I thought, I felt sick. I was like, no, please, no. Thank God Sanchez tripped him up.
Yeah, but you know what? First time of seeing it, I didn't think he touched him. I thought he dived.
No,
but
you see he dived.
It. Yeah, he does clip it. It's one of them, isn't it? Like a slight touch where it just clips your heel and you lose your momentum and your balance. But, yeah. Oh, mate, that moment when I seen that, I was like, oh my God, Luke smashed it. And then, oh no, disaster. Yeah. Sorry, no, I didn't mean to rub it in.
No, not at all. but it's, yeah, I mean, our teams sound very similar, Matt. I think the only difference from what you said there was that I've got Ramsdale. I got lucky and played my wild card a couple of weeks ago and took Sanchez out and put Ramsdale in. So I think his points compared, I haven't got Armstrong. So I think his points like equaled out the Armstrong points. But so what should we do about forwards then, boys? Because no one's returning. Do we stick with three up front? Do we go to two up front? Do we go to one up front? Like, surely they're going to turn it around, aren't they?
Yeah, I think at the moment, because defenders are doing so well, like the focus is on defenders. You know, your Jameses, your Chilwells, your Cancelos, that sort of thing. Your Livramentos, you know, he continues to deliver. Once again, clean sheet. Livramento, absolutely love to see it.
First on my bench.
Was he? Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
I don't think you'd be alone with that in the world of FPL. But yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I'm looking at strikers now because I've still got Ronaldo. And obviously United are in complete disarray. But they've got Watford this week. So I think I'm probably going to keep hold of him for this. And then who've they got the week after that? It's someone difficult. I can't remember who it is.
I think it might be
Chelsea, yeah. And you know, look how they played against all the title challengers in Liverpool and City. They were just completely, you know, just useless. So I don't know whether I want to get rid of him now. But then if you look at like, the next 10 game weeks afterwards, it's pretty much all green for Manchester United. Whether they'll turn it around or not, it's hard to tell. You're shaking your head.
What do you think to United, Matt? Who do you support?
Well, I support Hearts, so Scottish.
All right, fair.
So yeah. I hate people that are plastic fans, and I don't have an English team. To be honest, like, yeah, I'm not even gonna say I like a few teams, but yeah, I don't support anyone really. But no, I've got United are very popular. Lots of United fans everywhere, like up in Scotland as well. Yeah, I was on Ronaldo as well, and yeah, it's a tricky one. I think if you've got Ronaldo at this point, you've almost, I don't know if you've got to keep him. I'd probably move him on, I reckon, for Kane or something. But not this week. I think you keep him for Watford. Look, I'm a rugby player. I'm a casual football fan. But I think someone could get more out of those players that are there for sure. And you see kind of what happened with Chelsea last year, getting rid of Lampard mid-season. Bringing in Tuchel and win the Champions League, and yeah, I just think that sort of needs to be done there. But
I agree. I mean, I'm a United fan, and it's he's got to go. Like, you know, I'm a massive fan of Solskjaer as a player and as a man, but as a manager, he's just useless. And I just don't know. I said on our WhatsApp group, didn't I, Rich? I was like, I just don't know what he can do now. He's tried to change. He's tried to change the system. It's not worked. He had a perfect opponent in Spurs because they were just absolutely awful. And Cavani, Ronaldo and Bruno kind of carried the team to that victory. It wasn't amazing defensively. Just Spurs have had zero shots on target in the last two games. Like they're not, that's a Spurs thing. That's not a United being good in defence. Yeah. So I just don't know what he's going to do. And while it's so up in the air, I just think you can't go to any of United's team, even with those fixtures. Like, I remember at the start of the season when Arsenal started terribly, and I saw their run of fixtures, and I thought, I think they'll turn it around. They had a lot of players out injured. They had Ben White and Gabriel to come back. I thought, I think they'll turn it around, and they did. And they're unbeaten in like 10 games now, aren't they? And I think Arsenal look great, but they haven't had as the tough fixtures. But I think I look at United's fixtures, and I just think, I just can't see him turning it around. I feel like it's just going to be a slow, slow, painful death for Ole now. And the sooner they change it, the better. If someone comes in and they change it, then for that fixture run, yeah, I mean, get Varane, get Ronaldo, get Rashford, have a look at Sancho. You know, suddenly there's loads of options. But at the moment, I think you've got to avoid. However, if I had Ronaldo in my team, I'd keep him for that Watford fixture.
Yeah, that's it. That's the question, because I feel like, actually, to be fair, they've been, you know, there's been potential in Tottenham for a couple of weeks now, and they've just done nothing. But I kind of want to get Son in, and I kind of want to get Kane in, but surely that's the stupidest thing you can do, because they're having no shots. Like, you know, they're good footballers who continually score every season, but they're impotent. They were useless against Everton. I think Alan, who plays defensive mid for Everton, had the same heat map as Harry Kane. Like, that is bonkers.
Do you think Conte's going to prioritise winning that European Conference League over doing anything in the Prem, just to get a trophy under his belt?
I've forgotten about that. I forgot it was even a thing.
Well, they played well. I mean, they went 3-0 up against Vitesse, didn't they, in the Conference League on the Thursday, and they played a full-strength team. And then they came back and scored two goals, and then they like capitulated, basically. They won 3-2, but they capitulated. And I'm just wondering if he's going to prioritise that. And maybe this Everton game was just steadying the ship. I mean, I think he was quite happy to just take the 0-0 in the end. And even in his interview after, he was like, yeah, I prefer to win, but we've kept a clean sheet, we've steadied the ship.
It's progress.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just gutted that I really thought I was getting ahead of the curve with Son on my wild card, and he's blanked three times in a row, and I just can't get rid of him now, because it's like they're going into great fixtures. What do you think we should do about Spurs, Matt?
I was kind of hoping that you guys would help me on that. I don't know whether you think that if he's trying to maybe, you know, build some solid foundations and like he did at Chelsea and shoot up the defence again, whether it's maybe worthwhile looking at like Reguilón or Emerson Royale or something like that, as opposed to Kane and Son. I guess you're just kind of going on, you know, these guys are world-class players and, you know, fixtures do matter in FPL and things can turn around pretty quickly, you know, with good fixtures and, you know, Conte's world-class manager. So you are putting a lot of faith in that. I mean, Harry Kane is going to score again this year. Son will score this year. They're not going to go another game without zero shots on target, but it's a difficult one to take the plunge, isn't it? With that kind of money, you know, you're selling good players to get them in. I don't know. It's a trick. I'll probably take the punt on one of them, I reckon, attack-wise. Probably not go to the defence yet, but I'm not quite sure whether it'll be Kane or whether it'll be Son. So it's a difficult one.
I think Reguilón and Royale could be good options, actually. I mean, in the Everton game, there was, I think, Reguilón crossed and Royale had a chance, and then Royale crossed and Reguilón had a chance as well. And I think traditionally, Conte's wing-backs provide quite a few returns. So I think they could definitely be options, depending if they both keep their place. I mean, he brought Reguilón off for Doherty, didn't he? I mean, Doherty's kind of way in it. Why not give Doherty a go at right wing back? I mean, he was brilliant for Wolves, wasn't he? But I suppose now they've got Royale, he might not get a look in. But I definitely think those two, keep an eye on those two. And you're right, Matt. Like that's how I always look at it as well with these premium players. It's like, it's not like Kane and Son are never going to score again. They are going to score again. And you're right. And I think we've said that this season, Rich, haven't we? That we're playing the fixtures much more so than we have done in the past.
That's it. And it seems to have worked. You know, we've had the steady green arrows and whatever. But Matt, just for a question for, like, you know, the lads in your team at Leicester, like, do you have like an FPL mini league, and do you just discuss it and have these conversations, like, you know, on a daily basis at training or whatever?
Yeah, we do have a mini league at Leicester. I first got into it when I moved to Gloucester in 2016 to play, and I got roped into it, I think, the day before the first deadline. Said, there's this game, Fantasy Premier League, we're all playing it, you should play it. And I was like, can't be bothered, sounds rubbish. And then just got absolutely hooked on it. But yeah, I reckon in all, you know, rugby clubs across the country, like we had one at Edinburgh as well, when I played here, there's always mini leagues. And we do talk about it, like, most of the week. But I'm the kind of like Noz, like the go-to who like listens to all this stuff. So I'm the guy that they come to me like, can you look at my team? What transfer should I make? So, you know, in the nicest way possible, everyone that plays it is our casuals, really. Like there's boys making moves on like a Saturday, like 5 o'clock straight after the game. Like I'll be like, oh, what transfers have you done this week? And they're like, oh, I made it last Saturday. I transferred in you know, so-and-so. And I'm like, well, he's injured. Or do you know what I mean? Like, they're just, like, they do some crazy stuff. And, like, there was one by the brought in Huang, like, as soon as he signed, he was like, oh, I've seen his highlights. He's going to be beast.
Great move.
Like, maybe give him, I don't know if he's going to start. But then he started doing well. Do you know what I mean? They kind of get ahead of the curve sometimes, doing stuff like that. Or they just bring in the obvious player. Like, they look at top point scorers. Oh, I've brought in this guy. Oh, someone had one the other day. They took out, I think they took out a Chelsea defender, and they could afford Reece James, but they brought in Ogbonna from West Ham.
Because he had more points.
And I was like, oh, how many transfers have you got this week? He's like, oh, I've already made it. I did, like, Azpilicueta to Ogbonna. And I was like, you should maybe look at, like, Reece James or something. He's like, oh, no, I've already done it. And I was like, yeah. So there's some it's funny. Like, there's some funny moves. And so I always tend to, like, rise to the top of these leagues. And I've won, like, all the leagues, like, the last 3 or 4 years.
No way.
Yeah.
That's class. That's actually class.
I remember I had to scale it back, like, the fantasy chat, like, particularly at Hollyoaks and that, because I just wanted to talk about it all the time. I was so obsessed, and like in the mini league and that. And obviously because we spend more time on it, and because we're proper geeks when it comes to fantasy football, naturally you're going to be better than people that make transfers once a week. Yeah. So it's like, I always had to like scale it back, just kind of casually talk about it rather than be like, mate, I'm top and this is what happened and I made this move and have you seen this amount of shots in the box? This is why we ended up doing this podcast, didn't it? So I can fuel the obsession, basically. And now you're fully on board as well.
Oh, genuinely, like, I'm so excited about speaking to you guys about it, because I never, ever get to speak to anyone in this, you know, depth of detail about it. Like, it's all very, like, high-level stuff, and I'll look at their team and I'll try and help them. But, yeah, no one I've ever really had a conversation with, like, goes into it. There's maybe one friend of mine who's quite into it, and we talk about plans and who we're thinking about getting in and stuff. And but apart from that, I don't speak to anyone about it. So it's nice to be on here and chatting about it.
I told you, it's great. The FPL chaise longue. Just get your thoughts out. but yeah, there's not like a fantasy rugby game, is there? Or anything like that?
There is. Is there? Some of the lads play that, but I just don't know how it can be as good. Like, rugby, there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of rotation in the teams. And I don't know how good it would be. Like, I've tried and play one for, like, a World Cup or something before, but nah. Because it's my job, and because I watch rugby, you know, in a work capacity, like analysing teams through the week, I find it hard to watch loads of rugby, you know, in my spare time. Like, I love watching football. Like, I prefer to watch football because of FPL.
Yeah.
If there's like a top of the table rugby game on, or like Leeds Burnley, and I've got Rafinha or something, I'll watch Leeds Burnley. Like,
I love that.
I won't watch, like, you know, England New Zealand or something. I'll watch the bottom of the table Premier League class. So yeah, I think that says it all, really.
Yeah.
And what do you base your decisions on, Matt? Do you go with stats more than eye test, or do you watch a lot of games? How do you normally select players?
To be honest, I'm not a member of any sites to look at stats, so I just get it off podcasts or from what I read on Twitter and things like that. In terms of like eye test, I maybe only get to watch one game at the weekend, so I'll try and maybe watch some of the highlights, but you know, the 3-minute highlights in Sky Sports, I'll maybe like watch a bit of that. But apart from that, it's what I kind of gather all this information in online, listening to podcasts and whatnot, and then make the decision based on that. And I think this is my fifth season, so still relatively like young in terms of being an FPL manager, but I feel like I'm far more patient now, far more like long term in terms of my transfers, which can be a bad thing as well. I feel like in my early days I'd really look at like opportunities to differentiate and you know, target games, which has paid off before. But like for example this weekend, I think in the past I probably would have ripped up my team to target Norwich. And being a bit more, you know, instead of looking at what the Twitter template is or what everyone else seems to be doing and sort of coveting that team, just being like, actually, like, look at my team, like, can this 11 get good points? And most of the time you're not far off, and you don't need to make these sort of short-term moves that you'll regret in the long run. So I feel like my play style has changed a lot.
Yeah, and have you improved like year on year as well?
Yeah, so I think my first season I didn't have a clue. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know what, you know, I was probably bench boosting after like game week two or whatever. I finished 700k, I think around about 700k, and then I think I went 20k, 24k, and then last season 40k, I think. So wow. it's been good apart from that first season, and yeah, so I'm just trying to get inside that top 20k to beat my best one. But I feel like I've had good ranks and things like that. I'd say I'm half decent at it.
Yes, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's, I mean, amazing. It's like top. It's well inside top 1%, isn't it? I think if you're 20k, it might even be even more than that with 8 million managers or whatever. But I think that's a brilliant rank. I guess just quickly, who are we looking at to bring in after the international break? I think all three of us have got 2 free transfers, have we? And I think a lot of managers, particularly managers that listen to this, will probably have 2 free transfers as well. So who are we prioritising for after the international break?
I've had a little tinker. I'd say in terms of like a few players I'm looking at, Kane, Son, Jota. I can see myself getting dragged back into Jota. After Firmino's injury, I had him earlier in the season for that little run that Firmino was injured and he was missing, you know, sitters left, right and centre. But I'm always a sucker for, you know, a nailed on Liverpool attacker. And Callum Wilson actually I looked at. I know you sold him, did you not, Luke?
I did, yeah. I mean, I was looking at maybe bringing him back in, but I probably won't. I mean, I'd expect a little bit of a new manager bounce with Eddie Howe, but Newcastle's fixtures aren't actually that good, are they? I thought they were. I mean, they've got Norwich and Burnley in a few weeks' time, which could be good for him. I don't think he's a bad option.
Yeah, it's whether, because I've got Vardy, so he would probably go, but I kind of quite like the idea of keeping him as a bit of, because they've got a good run after. So I'm really up in the air. It's like sometimes 2 free transfers is more difficult than having one. It's just a nightmare. Like there's just too many combinations, and because I've got Rudiger and Chilwell, I was thinking that I take Rudiger down to, you know, maybe a Reguilon or a Lamptey or something like that to free up some cash, but I don't know. Like it's going to go right down to the wire. I think I'm not going to do anything too soon.
Mate, it's the same for me. It's going to go down to the wire at least until after all the international games have been played. But 2 free transfers. I want to make 3 transfers. It's just annoying. Like I feel like I shouldn't take a hit because I've got 2 free transfers. But
sometimes quite good to do that though. Like a little mini wild card, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can do 3 for a -4. It depends how long term the moves are, I think.
Well, I'm looking at Mane. I'd like to do Mane and Salah double up because I think that's very powerful. But it's just that Ronaldo's playing Watford this weekend, and it's just difficult to drop him when Watford.
So you could do one and then roll it and then bring Mane in. I mean, Liverpool have got Arsenal, haven't they? Which isn't an easy fixture right now.
No, absolutely not. But you know, I think Liverpool will probably bounce back, especially after losing that game to West Ham as well. Jota's an option. I just feel like Mane, he's only like 4% owned or something like that. I know Jota won't be highly owned either, but you know, Mane, I'd like to think, has got a much higher ceiling in terms of point scoring than Jota. It's things to think about over the international break. I'm also half tempted by Pookie. Am I mental?
Yes. Yes.
All right. That's
don't
why
do
I said
it.
Half tempted.
Well, you never know. They might have a new manager coming in as well. And
got okay fixtures as well, you know.
So many sackings, hasn't there? It's like mad. And Ole's still in a job.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you?
I had a Kane plan, but to be honest, I'm quite glad that Tottenham played as badly as they did because I've already got Son. There's no way I'm doing a Kane Son double up at the moment. So I've got like 1.5 million in the bank. And 2 frees. I mean, I've got the money to do Havertz to Foden and Rafinha to Jota, which would give me a midfield of Salah, Foden, Jota, Son and Mbeumo, which is like so tasty.
Yeah.
With rotation options left, right and centre. I mean, it's benching headaches galore again. I mean, I had a bit of time this morning, so I watched both Match of the Days and I did a proper plan, really. And I think my main targets are Foden. I'd really like to do Havertz to Foden. And I'd like to do Mbeumo to Gallagher, I think. I think Gallagher looks great.
Palace
have got good fixtures. I mean, it would be Gallagher or Smith Rowe, and Gallagher just takes it for me. I mean, there's partly because my mate Cameron, who's ahead of me in the mini league and is doing so well this year, he's got Smith Rowe. So I feel like the more I just get the same players as him, I don't normally play the game like this at all. But when there's not much between the two, but I looked at the stats, and Gallagher was just edging it for me because Palace have got good fixtures as well. But then Smith Rowe looks good as well. So yeah, you might be right. Smith Rowe might be a better option than. But I think I've got Mbeumo and Tony, so I think one of them's got to go. I'm not confident on both of them after the last few performances, even though they've got Newcastle next. But it's Eddie Howe's first game, isn't it? So I expect Newcastle to be a bit better.
Yeah, and they'll be a buzz. Cool. Very quickly then, I know it's 2 weeks away, pretty much. But who are you going to captain for the next game week?
Probably Salah.
Yeah, that's the two words that I was going to say.
Yeah, I think they're Arsenal home. Probably Salah. I've not had a good look, but yeah.
I think it's too much of a risk. Yeah, I think it's too much of a risk to captain anyone else at the moment. I mean, I looked at it and the Leeds fixture for Spurs is lovely, but you just can't trust Son or Kane at the moment. You just don't know what's going to happen.
And
obviously Southampton play Norwich. So Livramento maybe.
Mental.
It's got to be Salah.
It's our new phrase. Go with Mo. Cool. I'll be going with Salah as well. And that's about it. We'll do what we usually do over the international break. Some will release another podcast a few days before the game week 12 deadline. So keep your eyes peeled to that. And get onto our Twitter at FPL Triple Cap and click on the link to join our Discord. Matt, you need to get into our Discord because it's just constant FPL nonsense. And it's people helping one another out with FPL decisions. So it's great. So everyone, go find that if you can. Cool. Anything else, Luke?
No, that's it. I just really appreciate you coming on, Matt. And I think we should have you back on at the end of the season to see how you've done, if you'd like to. And just really appreciate your time, mate. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Kim, for that. And, it's been great to chat to someone who's interested in FPL as much as I am. So, no, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks very much.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world, and they want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers, and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.